This morning, I want to do a study of a man. Kind of a weird lesson, but I want us to study the Apostle Peter's life. Because you see, there's a lot that we can learn from this man, Simon Peter. When we're first introduced to Peter in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we see a Peter who is a hardworking fisherman. And a lot of times we know that the apostles were, many of them were fishermen, and we kind of just skate over that. But don't forget that that was hard work back in those days. This was back before the days of the Zebco 33, and you actually had to use nets. And many times if you had a large catch, it would take a lot of people to bring those nets in because of the weight of the fish and the water. And it was a hard and trying time. When we meet the Apostle Peter, or who would become the Apostle Peter, he had been out all night fishing and fishing, but he hadn't caught anything. Peter comes to him in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4 and says, Jesus says to Peter, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And Peter kind of tells Jesus, who he didn't really know at this time, "Master, we've toiled all night and we've took nothing. Jesus, you're just kind of a passerby. Let me tell you something. Jesus, I've been out here fishing all of my life, and we've been fishing all night, and you want me to go out a little deeper and put out my nets. But I tell you what, because you said so, I will. We've been fishing all night, but at your word," verse 5 says, "I'll let down the nets." Verse 6 says, "When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in another boat to come and help them out. And they came and they filled," the Bible says, "both boats, so that they began to sink." And Peter, this man who didn't know Jesus, but just did what he said because he asked him to do so, all of a sudden, he realizes there's something special about this man. There's something unique about Jesus, because here they have been trained fishermen out all night and took nothing. And all of a sudden, when they follow this man's direction, their nets are breaking and they're filling two boats full of fish. And I want you to notice that the attitude that Simon Peter has when he realizes who this Jesus is. Verse 8 says that Simon Peter, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Peter realizes that there's something special about Jesus, and he realizes that as a man, he doesn't measure up. So he asked Jesus to leave him, to depart, because he's a sinner and he's not worthy to be in Jesus' presence. And the Bible says that he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And Jesus answers Peter later in verse 10 and says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And Jesus gives Peter a new lot on life. He gives him a new commission. No longer will he be fishing in the seas of Galilee, but now he's going to be fishing for men. And the Bible says in verse 11 that when they had brought their boats to the land, Peter, James, and John, all of the sons of Zebedee, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Another gospel writer says that they left their father Zebedee sitting in the boat. Jesus made such an impression on Peter, James, and John that they were willing to give up their livelihood, all that they had known, fishing, and they were willing to forsake all and follow him. And as we journey through the life of this great man, the man who on the day of Pentecost would stand up and say, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ." This man who would preach the first gospel sermon so much so that people were cut to the heart and they cried out asking Peter, "What shall we do to be saved?" I want you to notice that this man's journey began with him leaving everything. His family, what he knew, his livelihood, and following Jesus. And as he follows Jesus along that way, we're going to see there's a lot of bumps in the road for Peter. Peter has very high points in life, and he has some very low points as well. It takes a lot of faith to leave your father, your livelihood, and follow someone who you just met. It takes a lot of faith to do that, and Peter was a man of great faith. But there are many times where Peter was a man, just like you and I. And Peter stumbled and he fell, and he opened his mouth and inserted his foot. And Peter gives me hope because I'm not always perfect. I don't always measure up, and to tell you the truth, a lot of times when I look into the mirror of God's Word, I feel just like Peter. God, I'm not deserving of your grace, your mercy. God, get away from me. I'm a sinner, and I'm unworthy. But you know, Jesus didn't leave Peter where he was. Jesus took Peter with him. And he shepherded Peter. And he helped Peter grow. And he helped Peter to be a man of great faith. We see Peter's great faith in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 beginning, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of course, the disciples had a lot of answers. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And they're all given in these answers that some people say. And all of these answers stem around Jesus. You're a great person. You're a prophet. But Jesus really cuts to the quick and asks, "But who do you say that I am?" I know what other people say about me. They think I'm a prophet. They think that I'm a great man just like Elisha or Jeremiah or any of the other prophets were. But who do you say that I am? And Peter answers very quickly. And Peter says there in verse 16 in Matthew chapter 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." When other people saw Jesus as merely a prophet or merely a good man, Peter saw Jesus as the Son of God. You are the Christ. That means the Messiah. Jesus, you're the one that we've been looking for all of these years. You're that diamond in the rough. You're the Son of God. And Jesus answers Peter and says, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And Jesus gives Peter these keys that we see him use on the day of Pentecost as he preaches that first gospel sermon, and he tells people how they can have a right relationship with God. And Peter, right here in Matthew chapter 16, shows great faith, because when other people just saw Jesus as a prophet, Peter saw him as something greater. Peter saw him as the very Son of the living God. But I want you to know, even in the midst of this great faith, you see Peter the man shine through. Because in verse 20, Jesus strictly charges the disciples to tell no one that he is the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he may go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus is revealing to these disciples that he loves and he trusts what's going to happen to him. That even though he is the Christ, and even though he is the Messiah, and he is the Son of God, he's going to have to die for humanity. And I want you to notice what Peter, this great man of faith, does in verse 22. Peter takes Jesus to the side, and the Bible says that he began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. And Peter starts to tell Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen. Jesus, I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let the chief priests and the elders and the scribes put you to death." And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance for me, for you do not set your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And I find it ironic that right there where Matthew says that Peter succeeds by knowing who Jesus is and by realizing his power and goodness, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in the next breath he turns around and he denies Jesus. In the next breath, he rebukes Jesus. And rather than saying, "Blessed are you, son of John," Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking right. You're not thinking clearly. You're thinking like man thinks." Peter was a man of great faith, but so many times he was a man just like us. He failed. He failed by rebuking Jesus. He failed in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. As Jesus was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter just had to open that mouth again. Because Jesus was there, the Bible tells us, with Moses, Elisha, and it was Jesus. And Peter got this great idea. And Peter said, let's make three tents here. Let's make three memorials. One to Moses, one to Elisha, and one to you, Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 5, as Peter is saying that, while he's still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear him." We learn that Peter was a man just like us, because many times his big mouth got him into trouble. Peter talked without really thinking it through. And I don't know about you, but many times I talk without thinking things through. And I say things that can be hurtful, and I say things that are wrong because I didn't take the time to process them and to think about it. And that's exactly what happens here with Peter. It happens again as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. We looked at that last Sunday. Peter says, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Peter's always quick to the gun, and sometimes that's a blessing to him when he is right and he says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But many times that is hurtful to Peter. because he talks without really thinking it through. In Matthew chapter 14, we learn that Peter was too big for his britches. Because you see, in Matthew chapter 14, as they're out there in the boat, they see somebody walking on the water and they think it's a ghost. And suddenly they realize that it's not a ghost at all, that it's Jesus. And what's the first thing that Peter wants to do? Well, Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter's too big for his britches. He sees Jesus walking on the water, so he thinks he can do it as well. And I'll give Peter his credit, because at least Peter got out of the boat. I don't know about you, but if I was sitting on the water and I knew it was water, there's no way that I would even try walking on it. Because I know when you start walking on water, you sink. Man's not made to walk on water. But Jesus gives him this ability to walk on water because of his faith. And Jesus says in verse 29, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water and he came to Jesus. But notice the distractions coming in verse 30. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink and he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Peter is literally in above his head. Peter is too big for his britches. He wants to do great things, but he lets the distractions, he lets the little things trip him up. When he sees the wind, he begins to sink, and Jesus actually has to reach out and take him by the hand and save his life. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you're a man of little faith." And he asked him this question, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When we look at Peter, we see a man who has bright spots. We see a man who is willing to forsake all and follow Jesus. We see a man who realizes the power that Jesus has. But we see a man who's a sinner and who's growing. The name Peter in the Greek, Petros, literally means rock. Many times we see Peter and he looks like a rock. He looks like he's firmly planted, but many times, rather than seeing a rock, we see a pebble. And I want you to know tonight, or this morning, that Jesus was taking Peter and he was training Peter. Peter was a work in progress, just like those of us that are Christians are a work in progress. Peter thought a lot about himself, so much so that he rebukes Jesus, so much so that he thinks he can deny gravity and walk on water, so much so that in the garden, as the people come to arrest Jesus, he draws out a sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. Peter was a man who failed at times. And there's no greater falling of Peter than we see in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 31, Jesus says to them, "You'll all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And notice Peter again, that man who's always quick to speak. Peter answers and said, "Though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Verse 34, Jesus says to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Peter talked a big talk. But if you read a little further, verses 69 through 75, you see that he wasn't able to walk the walk. Because just as Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times, Peter does it. Three times, Peter is presented with this opportunity to stand up for Jesus. To stand up and to be identified with Jesus. But three times, he denies him. In verse 69, a little servant girl comes to Peter and says, you were also with Jesus, the Galilean. Verse 70, but he denied it, saying, I don't know what you mean. Peter, this man who, when he stood before Jesus, was willing to say, Jesus, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Jesus, if it means I have to die too, I'll die. I'm never going to deny you. Don't you think that it's a little humorous? That it's a little girl that takes me shame. That it's a little girl that comes to Peter and says, you were with Jesus, and Peter says, no, I wasn't. I don't know what you mean. Verse 71, another servant girl saw him and said that this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And this time he denied it with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. A third opportunity in verse 73. When other bystanders come up to Peter and said that certainly you're one of them because your accent betrays you. Peter, you sound like a Galilean. You're out of place here. We know you were with Jesus. Verse 74. The man who says, Jesus, if I have to die with you, I'll do it. I'll never deny you. Verse 74 says that he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear and say, I do not know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. And he remembered exactly what Jesus said, that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times, and he wept bitterly. Peter, a man of great faith, yes. A man who had bright spots in his life. When he realized who Jesus was, when he left all and followed Jesus, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the first gospel sermon, when he went out on missionary journeys and made it his life goal to convert people to the truth and to tell them who Jesus really was. But at the same time, a man who had his faults and his flaws, a man who was too big for his britches, a man who opened his mouth and inserted his foot, and a man who failed. I'm so glad that God is a God of grace and mercy. Because you know, it would have been very easy for Jesus to look at Peter and to snicker and said, you said you'd be with me, but you denied me three times. But you see, he doesn't. Because after Jesus was raised from the dead, he meets Peter. And three times he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter denies Jesus three times, and three times Jesus shows his love and his mercy and his grace to Peter. And he gets Peter to realize that really deep down inside he does love Jesus. And even though he failed, and even though he was unworthy of the grace that Jesus would give him, Jesus extended it anyway. In conclusion, we learn a lot from Peter. We learn that Peter was a hardworking fisherman, and we today need people that are hardworking for God. I know Brother Jimmy is retired, but he'll agree with me. There's no retirement age in the church. There's no retirement age in the church. We're all responsible for living out God's word in our life, for teaching others about Him. From Peter, we learn that when Jesus calls us, we need to lay down everything and we need to follow Him. Is that always easy? No. Do you think it was very easy for Peter, for James, for John, to leave their own father Zebedee sitting in the boat and to follow Jesus? I don't think it was easy. Do you think it's easy to leave what you know and to do something else? I don't think it's easy. But church, if it's right, that's what we have to do. We learn from Peter that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 encourages us to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the truth is, just like Peter learned out there on the Sea of Galilee, the winds do blow. And there are going to be times in life where things are going on around us and it can either strengthen our faith and make us more steadfast, or just like Peter, we can begin to focus on things and lose focus on Jesus. And just like Peter, we begin to sink. When we take